Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
All right, let's turn back over to Mark chapter 7 real quickly. This is where I started last night, and I just want to use this verse quickly and then we'll move on. But I was sharing last night that I really believe the Lord just wants me to talk about the goodness of God, that God is a good God, that God is a faithful God. And people say they understand that, but as these verses say, and I read a lot of them last night, but let's just drop down to Mark chapter 7 and verse 13. Or verse 12, it says, "And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye." And I used this verse last night to say that people say that God is a good God and that God loves them, but then we have all of these religious doctrines and traditions that really diminish that and blind us and keep us deceived from really understanding these basic truths. So last night, what I started talking about was the wrong interpretation and application of the sovereignty of God. I will accept that God is sovereign if you'll use a dictionary definition, but if you use the religious definition of sovereign, where God controls everything and God is responsible for the mayhem and the terrible things going on in this world, that's wrong. And that is a tradition and doctrine of man that voids the truth of the Word. So I countered that last night pretty strong. Probably got a lot of people upset, but also probably helped a lot of people get set free. Amen. And I just think that that is the worst doctrine going on in the body of Christ. Real quickly, let me answer just a couple of questions, and then I'm going to move on to another point this morning. But I had somebody ask about, well, what about chastisement? And they specifically quoted Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about that you all suffer chastisement. And if any does not suffer chastisement, then you're a bastard and not a son, is what it says over in Hebrews chapter 12. And so, I mean, those are pretty strong words. And it therefore it concludes that everybody gets chastised by God. I don't have a problem with that. The word chastise just means correction. And God does correct us. But here's the problem. Again, it's not what the Word says. It's the way that it's been interpreted in the traditions and all of the extra stuff that's attached to it. People think that the way God chastises us is with sickness and with disease and with hardships and with problems. And that's not true. The Scripture reveals, is that 1st or 2nd Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? Let me just find this quickly. I think it's 2nd Timothy. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." This says that the Word of God is how God corrects us and reproves us. And you don't need an additional way of receiving correction, because it says that it makes the man of God perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's method of correction is through the Word. He will speak to you and correct you. And I guarantee you, the Lord has spoken the Word to me sometimes that has just cut me to my core. It has broken me. I mean, it can be a severe correction. But God has one method of correction. Just like a godly parent doesn't sit there and shoot their child or stab them or hit them with cancer or knock them flat of their back. There's a right way to correct, and that's with the rod right on the rear end where you have some extra padding. That is a godly method of correction. You don't strike your child with things and hit them and beat them. That would be child abuse. God corrects us, yes. The Bible teaches correction, but it's wrong to interpret it that the way He corrects us is with sickness, with disease, with poverty, and with all of these other kind of things. God corrects us through the Word. So really, there's no conflict here. There's no problem unless you've already got a prejudice, a predisposition an interpretation that sickness and disease is God's method of doing that. That's not what the Word says. That is not God's way of doing things. You know, I could keep answering questions. I've opened up a box of worms, in a sense, because there's so much religious tradition. Somebody's thinking about, well, what about Paul's thorn in the flesh? I hadn't got time to teach on Paul's thorn in the flesh, but God didn't smite him with some disease that made him had runny, puffy eyes. That's a religious interpretation. The Scripture makes it very clear. I've got a teaching out there entitled, God Wants You Well, and I spend an hour dealing with Paul's thorn in the flesh and Trophimus being left at Miletum sick and Timothy taking a little wine for his stomach's sake. None of those things are teaching that God puts sickness on you to teach you something. And it's all answered in that teaching on God Wants You Well. So anyway, you can check that out. Let me mention some other things. Over in the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 78 and verse 49. Let me turn over and read this. Psalm 78, 49, it says that He cast upon them the fierceness of His anger, wrath, and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. And there's a number of scriptures. Also in Isaiah chapter 45, I believe it's verse 7, it says that I create light and darkness. I create good, I think it is, and evil. And there's another scripture like over in 1 Samuel 16:14 where it says that the Lord sent an evil spirit from the Lord upon Saul that tormented him. Some people use things like that to say, well, see, God right there did evil. God is doing these bad things. Those instances that I just quoted can all be dealt with by just looking at the word evil. The old English word evil. Matter of fact, if you look the word evil up in a dictionary, one of the definitions of evil is bad. And to prove it, over in Jeremiah chapter 24, let me just read this passage to you. Here is a good example from the King James Version that will explain this. In Jeremiah chapter 24, the Lord told Jeremiah to look and tell him what he saw. And in verse 2, here's Jeremiah said, one basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs that could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Now, is this talking about that the figs are demonic? It's just a word. It's an old English word that meant bad. When God said this is good, then that automatically made anything else bad. So He created good and bad. He defined what good and bad is. When the Lord sent an evil spirit from the Lord, it wasn't a demonic spirit. It was a godly spirit, but it accomplished something bad from Saul's perspective. It was punishment. It was judgment upon him. And so all of those instances do not violate anything that I was saying last night. God doesn't send demonic things. God doesn't use the devil. It's just that that was an old English word that talks about that, things were evil, like these figs. They weren't demonic. They were just rotten. It was bad. And God, in the old covenant, and here's the point that I'm wanting to start dealing with this morning. The old covenant does show God smiting people, hitting people, judging people. For instance, Uzziah, a king, went in and offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And kings weren't supposed to do that. And the priest stood in his way and said, it doesn't pertain unto you to do this. And yet he just persisted. He was so impressed with himself. He thought that he could go beyond what God had anointed him to do. And he stepped into a realm that he wasn't anointed to. Even God had struck Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron who offered a sacrifice. They were priests, but they did it wrong, and God smote them, and fire came out and killed them instantly. So when Uzziah stepped over into the priesthood, God struck him with leprosy. Miriam, the sister of Moses, complained and told him that you aren't the only one that hears from God. God speaks through us. And her brother were trying to take over the leadership of the Jews. And when that happened, God smote Miriam with leprosy. And she only stayed that way for 7 days because Moses interceded, but God struck her. There's instances where, you know, the scripture I quoted out of Psalms chapter 78, verse 49, that he sent evil angels among them. That doesn't mean they were demonic angels, but that's talking about the death angel. He sent a godly angel that smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, and that was the straw that broke their back, and they let the Jews go because of that. God did things like that. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and killed bunches of people because of homosexuality. God destroyed the whole earth except for 8 people with the flood in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis. And he brought the flood upon the earth. There's an instance where he went out and an angel smote 186,000 Syrians in one night and they all died. And there's instances where God smote people and hit people with things. And some people, see, say, well, that just violates everything you were saying last night, that God is a good God. No, here is the answer, and this is another point that I'm wanting to get across, another doctrine that keeps people from really understanding the goodness of God is that they don't understand that there was a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. Most people run all of this together and they think that the only difference is one blank page in between Malachi and Matthew. And they think that's the difference. And, you know, again, I could minister on this for weeks. And so I'm trying to condense things and I'm going to just say some things briefly. That's the reason I held back this book. This book is basically a harmony between the old covenant and the new covenant. It looks like that there are two different gods. Under the old covenant, man, you see wrath. If people did something wrong, bam, God had hit them. The wrath of God had come upon them. God was not as merciful. In the new covenant, you see tremendous mercy. And it looks like that either God is schizophrenic or there's two different gods. Will the real God please stand up?
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-158 titled Split Personality when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I believe that the truths I'm sharing could transform lives all around the world, and I'm doing everything I can to get this word out. We reach over 200 million homes worldwide. But you know what? There's still millions of homes to go. And if you haven't yet become a partner with our Gospel Truth broadcast, I'd like to ask you to pray about it and then become a monthly partner with us. There are people all of the time who receive benefit from this. They are blessed. They listen, watch on a daily basis, and yet they've never given beyond just the materials that they get. I'd like to ask you to help us reach out beyond just your need and reach other people. Please call or write today.